Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back here in the driver's seat. 800-224-2004 at Mr. Cole Thompson. If you want to give me a follow on Twitter. Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing. We got a great hour ahead. 2 minute warning right around the corner. In about 6 minutes, Ryan Kelly's first acceptance speech, press conference, whatever the heck you want to call it, at Notre Dame. And what is the best NBA team? And what is the team that you feel like is going to be the most complete? We'll talk that and much, much more. But I will talk about this to begin the show. You know what I really hate more than anything else? Traffic. I've never been a guy who likes seeing traffic. But then again, who is? Who actually like sits up, wakes up in the morning, gets a cup of coffee and goes, I want to not move for an hour. Just sit there completely. But the one thing you got to admit is that when you work in this hour of the day, there really is no traffic. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise. The other thing you also have to admit is that the city of Houston and most cities across the country don't care what time you work. They look for the least amount of busy time for them to start doing construction. So this morning, I was running in, getting onto the show, getting on the highway, getting ready to come in, and they closed my exit. And not only did they close my exit, they closed two exits down the street from me to where they said, hey, you want to get into work this morning? You want to get there early? No chance. Not a chance at all. And then, of course, you get to have the fun time of playing speed, Need for Speed. I felt like Dom Toretto this morning trying to get into the studio. Want to make sure that I was zipping and zapping through different streets, different avenues. I felt like I was going to be able to be on the movie Fast and Furious. And I realized something. I totally get why they make those movies. I 100% get why they make those movies. You feel invincible when you're going that fast. You feel like you truly have. The world is your oyster and you're zipping down the highway feeling like life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long. Yeah, you really do. But then you also tie in the I got friends. I got family kind of style. It's a fun time. I'm not going to lie. You know how it is. Houston, just remember, Cole Thompson on Just Saying It goes coast to coast every single morning. You got to make sure those avenues, those running lanes are free for him to be able to make it in and shine.
Time for the 2 minute warning around the NFL. No. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Each and every day at this hour, we go around the NFL, breaking down some of the biggest storylines you might have missed, and we do so in 2 minutes. That's why we call it 2 minute warning. Oh, Michael! Start the clock.
Another week has brought a fresh round of questions regarding the future of Browns with Baker Mayfield as their quarterback. After Cleveland mustered a grand total of 10 points in a very winnable primetime game against the Ravens, Mayfield continued to struggle. He completed 18 of 37 passes for 247 yards, one touchdown, and a forgettable 79.4 passer rating in the 16-10 loss to Baltimore. That type of performance meant general manager Andrew Berry had to speak on Cleveland's future under center yet again on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think we all know that Baker is incredibly, incredibly physically tough. Yeah, I think he's told you guys, at moments of the year where he's been frustrated with this, with his own performance. That being said, he has had stretches, this year where he has played well for us. And look, the reality is like he's worked through injuries, different than other players on our roster. But I know, he expects of himself and we expect, him, whenever he's on the field to perform at a capable level, at a winning level. And we expect him to play his best football down the stretch here after the bye.
Maybe a bye week is all it takes for Baker Mayfield to turn around. I mean, think about this for a second. Their bye week was earlier last year. And also, Odell Beckham Jr. was off the team by week 7. And Baker Mayfield looked like a franchise caliber all-pro, maybe even top 10 quarterback after that time. Maybe that's all he needs. Maybe the bye week comes at the right moment. They're still 6-6. They're going to still be in the playoff hunt. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to finish like a 12-5 like we expected, or even a 13-4. But they're still going to be in the playoff race. And you look at the way the AFC is built right now. What do you believe in? Do you truly believe in Cincinnati? Do you not think that there are weaknesses in Baltimore? Pittsburgh, they're going to be in fourth place. I'm going to tell you this right now. Pittsburgh is going to find a way to be in fourth place. Even if they're 8-9-1 or 9-8-1, they're going to be in fourth place. There's so many limitations when it comes to them. And then if you're Baker Mayfield and you are Andrew Berry, and say you have a good home stretch, like you finish out the season, you make the playoffs, you look to be the part, you improve immensely, and people are going to say,
oh, he's still going to deserve to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Well, tell me who you're going to draft. Tell me who you're going to sign. Tell me who you're going to take. If you can do any of that, if you can find a superstar quarterback that will come in and be able to elevate your roster, not a rookie, well, if you can find that, then by all means, trade him. Trade Baker Mayfield, whatever you want to do, send him to another team, go ahead and add him to another roster. He can go ahead and be a starter somewhere else. If not, why not just agree to a lesser deal, like a 3-year, $85 million deal? You're not spending that much money. And the $20 million that you probably would spend, or $25 million that you would spend, is probably about an average deal of what you'd be looking for. It's more so what you're looking for is that deal of the $40 million over six seasons, the $185 million, the $250 million. Those are deals that when you look at, you're sitting there going, I don't think I can fail. I don't think I can pay him that much. You could pay him $20 million for two or three seasons. And if he's willing to take that, to me, it at least gives you time to elevate him a little bit more and figure out what he truly is as a quarterback. There's been a lot of reasons why Baker Mayfield has not been successful, one being injury. I still think he can turn it around. I really do.
Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts is dealing with an ankle injury, but coach Nick Sirianni is optimistic that the second-year signal caller will be ready for Sunday's game against the New York Jets. Hurts came out of the Eagles' Week 12 loss to the New York Giants nursing an ankle injury. The big question is whether the injury could curtail the dual-threat quarterback's ability to run against gangrene on Sunday. Hurts downplayed the severity of his injury Wednesday, simply noting he is fine.
Yeah, I think he's hungry to get out there again and to redeem himself off of a performance that, you know, wasn't up to his standard. And so that's the competitor in him. That's the football character in him that he wants to get back at work and get ripping again.
Three interceptions against the New York Giants is a no-no. I mean, like, that's plain simple. But what was interesting is that there was a report that came out literally hours before saying that they believe that he could actually be a franchise quarterback and they could run with him for at least another year or two. And when you have a game like that, it puts everything in question, everything in jeopardy. You have three first-round picks. I do not believe right now that any of these quarterbacks are going to be that great, at least in the top 10, which is where all your picks would be, minus maybe the one from Indianapolis. I think that would be like number 14. But so they could easily drop, and they could be back in the top 10 with Miami and your own pick. You could probably be top 10. For me, having that maturity and that level of success that you've seen is great, but you have to be able to also bring that level of production on at a consistent level. Like, it's awesome that he can move and maneuver outside the pocket. He has great footwork. He's able to keep drives alive with his feet. He's able to, you know, keep the ball moving on third down. Those are all things that are great. Like, those are all things that you can love and appreciate. But at the same time, you have got to continue to prove that you are the right guy. So any single week that you aren't going to be out there is a massive problem for your future and your jeopardy and your career. But the good news for all Eagles fans out there is that if Jalen Hurts cannot play, or even if he can play a limited role, Mustache Mania is back. Gardner Minshew is expected to play, and Minshew Mania will take over the city of brotherly love, ready to become the next franchise-caliber quarterback for the Eagles.
Now, the jorts are back.
The jorts are back. The Mississippi Mudflap is back. The mullet is flowing, and I am glowing knowing that my favorite quarterback of all time and my bestie, Gardner
Minshew.
Got
bars.
What? Oh, I know, bro. It's how I flow. I got it.
Want to talk about a bang for a buck deal? Look no further than Arizona Cardinals running back James Conner. The Cardinals signed Conner to a one-year contract worth just $1.75 million, basically backup level money to help alongside Chase Edmonds. Instead, Conner has been rejuvenated, recording 555 yards on 146 carries and a whopping 12 touchdowns. He's also added 18 catches for 173 yards and another score. After his experience in Arizona, Conner hopes to stick around for longer than just one season.
Man, I want to win a Super Bowl here, and you know, let the chips fall where they may. I would love, you know, it's the weather and everything, and what this team has going, and you know, and my teammates out here, and the coaching staff. You know, I don't see why not. You know, why wouldn't want to be here? You know, we got all the resources and everything we need to be successful. So we're gonna take it one week at a time first. You know, we got a big game in Chicago coming up, but after the season, you know. I got a lot of love for the Cardinals, so we'll see what happens.
You feel rejuvenated?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I feel healthy. I feel brand new. So I guess, I think that's my third time saying that, so I must mean it.
You do realize you play running back, James Conner. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. You have absolutely been an immense success in the red zone for the Arizona Cardinals. And it's a big reason why they are one of the top scoring offenses in the NFL. But you play running back. And you're starting to see now more than ever running backs actually start to fizzle out. And I mean great running backs. Ezekiel Elliott's playing hurt. He has not been his normal self for about 6 weeks after last year taking a regressional year. You're seeing back-to-back season-ending surgeries for Christian McCaffrey. Alvin Kamara is now hurt. Derrick Henry is now hurt. Dalvin Cook is now hurt. And you know what? I love Jonathan Taylor, and I'm praying to all heaven mighty. The big guy upstairs, whatever you want to call your God, I'm just going to call him the big guy. That he will stay healthy for the longevity of his career. And the reason why is because I think that he is an excellent and talented player. But when you start to have injury concerns, like you have had in the past, it's hard for me to justifiably say that you're going to be worth top dollar. So if you're willing to take a more discounted deal, maybe like a $7.5, $8 million for, you know, per season type of deal, you're probably set. If you're looking for that 22, you know, 18 to 22, you know, that $1 million per season, Arizona's not going to pay you that. I would be very shocked to see how many teams are willing to pay you that. Because if now you just look at days, running back has become the most dilated and significant position as a player. Not as a team. There are a lot of teams that still love to use the run. You look at the Tennessee Titans. You look at the likes of the Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Ravens. They still love to run the football. But you're not seeing the superstars run it outside of probably Nick Chubb. Derrick Henry's hurt. Dalvin Cook's hurt. Christian McCaffrey's hurt. All these guys are starting to get hurt. That hurts the value of any single running back on the market. So, unfortunately for James Conner, I wish him the best. And I think he's had a stellar year. Doesn't mean he's going to get paid. Like, it does not mean whatsoever he's going to get paid. And a lot of teams may even have buyer's remorse should they let him go.
Think in the future, will there be no running back as a position in the NFL?
No, I always think that there will be. What I will not be shocked to see is that the running back basically is a dilated nothing position. Like you would have a running back on a roster and he gets maybe like six carries a game. Like, I would not be shocked to see that, to where it's an only passing league.
The ageless Adrian Peterson isn't done yet. The Seattle Seahawks have signed the 36-year-old seven-time Pro Bowler to their practice squad, Coach Pete Carroll confirmed on Wednesday. Seattle's offense has struggled mightily of late, and its rushing attack ranks just 25th in the NFL at 92.5 yards per game. Whether Peterson can jumpstart it remains to be seen. However, in Seattle, he joins the seventh NFL team. Peterson played 10 seasons with the Minnesota Vikings, who made him a first-round pick in 2007. Followed by much shorter stints with the Arizona Cardinals, New Orleans Saints, the Washington Football Team, Detroit Lions, Tennessee, and now the Seattle Seahawks.
I just saw him. He's in. Excited to see if he can help us out and give us a little something. And it's a player that I've known forever. You know, it was way back to his high school days, and admired him tremendously over the years. Always disappointed we didn't get him back in the day, but like I just told him, we finally got him. So I'm looking forward to see how he does and see where he can fit in. He's an incredible competitor and a great guy, so I'm anxious to, you know, give him a chance to get on the field with our boys.
I used to really respect Adrian Peterson because of, you know what? Dude, I get it. You don't want to retire. Nobody wants to call it quits yet. You're on two back-to-back practice squads, and you didn't even rush for 100 yards during your time in Tennessee. A run-heavy offense. Bro, it's time to just call it a career. It's okay. You were an elite player for over a decade at a position that now has become dilated and minute to so many different offenses. You don't have it anymore. It's okay. You are a future first ballot Hall of Famer. You are the greatest running back of the last 20 years, more than likely in the NFL. You're never going to get the record of Emmitt Smith. You're probably never going to get the record of Frank Gore. You're definitely not going to get the record of Eric Dickerson. You're not going to get any of those records. I get it. It's a great career. You've had a stellar time. Now it's just getting a little annoying. And I know people are going to say, oh, but you know, he wants to play still. He believes he still has it in him. Good for him. I don't. And you're hearing that because of Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson. Remember that name? Practice squad. You know that joke by Daniel Tosh talking about Brett Favre playing until his body explodes and he'd just be a practice squad member? Yeah, I'm going to keep doing that. Yeah, well, Adrian Peterson has literally made that joke an actual reality. Hey, man, you're not good enough to be on our active roster. But you're good enough to be on our practice squad. You say that pays this much money? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to keep doing that. There you have it. 2-minute warning right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Need gift ideas? The O'Reilly Auto Parts Holiday Gift Guide has something for everyone on your list at prices under $15. Like a pair of Mechano-Wax black-coated winter gloves, a power torque two-piece magnetic tool holder, a slime digital tire gauge, and much, much more. Check out the O'Reilly's Holiday Gift Guide for all great ideas at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
I mean, look, the situation for me has always been the same. The opportunities that have come my way have been so unique. So that expectation doesn't change whether, you know, the opportunity I had week one, week two, or whatever it ends up being this Thursday night and so forth in the future. I'm going to do my best to take advantage of every single opportunity and do everything I can to help us win football games.
Will Taysom Hill, welcome to being QB1. It is official that Hill will start tonight against the Dallas Cowboys as the New Orleans Saints quarterback. In a game that feels like a must-win for New Orleans. It really does. I feel really bad for New Orleans because they actually started the season off very hot. And I didn't believe that they would actually be that good. I really thought they'd be more of a struggle year. They'd figure things out. Jameis Winston wouldn't be the option. They wouldn't be able to have a good old wide receiver core. And at the start of the year, they actually had all the right things. Jameis Winston wasn't an elite quarterback, but he did his part. He knew how to coach. He knew how to play. He knew how to, you know, he knew what was expected of him in a Pete Carmichael offense, and they were hot. New Orleans looked like they were not going to lose a beat. In fact, they were only going to elevate their status as probably the number two team in the NFC South. And sure, they currently are the number two team in the NFC South, but that's more so because of Carolina is terrible and Atlanta is subpar at best. But now you don't have Jameis Winston. You still don't have Alvin Kamara. You still don't have Michael Thomas. You're missing a lot of key pieces that would help you be successful. And you're relying on Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill to be the savior for your franchise. Now, the good news is about Taysom Hill is that he has an understanding of what Carmichael and Sean Payton want for the offense. He has worked in the system, and they're going against a Dallas Cowboys team that has been dealing with some injuries and also is tired. Mentally, I don't know if they're all there. But Hill is not a good quarterback. And it's not that, oh, this season when he's played, he's been bad. No, this year when he's played, he's actually been pretty good. 7 of 8 for an 87 completion rating, 56 passes, and a passer rating of 56.3. terrible numbers in their passer rating. Everything else, pretty good in completion rating. Pretty good in yards per throw. But if you look at his overall career as a starting quarterback, or even just as a quarterback, he hasn't been the guy. 71 completion rating for only 1,000, you know, only 1,000 passing yards. 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, a 91 passer rating. But his average throw is about 7 yards per per play. Those aren't numbers. Those aren't numbers you want to see. But you do look at right now what is going on in Dallas, and you look at how their secondary has kind of taken a step back. Plus, they will not have their head coach tonight with Mike McCarthy out due to being on the COVID-19 protocol. There's an absolute shot that Taysom Hill can probably win this game and help the team improve to 6-6 on the year. However, and a big however, does he think that he can be a franchise quarterback? Well, in his mind, that is long from goal.
Look, this is my 5th year. My mindset is to take advantage of every opportunity that I have. And I don't know, I don't know what that is week to week, you know, if I'm being honest. And so that this thing is just ever changing, and whatever that opportunity is, I'll do my best. And I think that this contract and the incentive base pay, all that stuff is just a way to, you know, protect everyone.
The reality is that I do not believe Taysom Hill can be a franchise quarterback, but there's always been times where people prove me wrong. I didn't think that Jameis Winston was going to be any good. I thought for sure Sam Darnold was going to be the second coming now that Adam Gase was out of New York and he was in Carolina. I believed, without a question, that the Houston Texans were going to be better than what their record is. I've been wrong, and I've been right. People have proved me wrong time and time again. Maybe Taysom Hill can. But also, let's look at the Dallas Cowboys, because they're a team that just 2 weeks ago felt like a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Not only a legitimate Super Bowl contender, probably the best team in the NFC and the most complete one as well. They don't have that. But do keep in mind, this is a team that has been playing a lot of football, and they're showing adversity trying to make it through. They played against the Atlanta Falcons on a Monday night, played against the Chiefs. My bad. They played against the Atlanta Falcons on a Sunday, played against the Chiefs on a Monday, played against the Raiders on a Thursday, and now they're playing the Saints. They're going to be playing 4 football games in less than 23 days. Less than 23 days. They're going to be playing 3 football games in less than 12 days. You want to talk about seeing what adversity looks like, how you're able to stand out? Ask Trevon Diggs, talking about how mentally this is a wear on them. Physically, this is a wear on them. But sometimes the schedule shows just how strong of a team you actually can be.
It's been a challenge. You know, we're not used to this. But at the end of the day, you know, you just got to be mentally tough, be mentally prepared, and just, you know, just stay focused. All of it is mental, honestly. So, you know, you think it's tough, you're going to go out there and think that it's tough. But if you show that it's not tough and you think it's easy and just, you know, just keep going, roll with the punches, you'll be okay.
One of 3 in their last 4 games. They've lost 2 games consecutively by massive blowouts. They weren't able to contend with the likes of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Denver Broncos took care of business, and so did the Las Vegas Raiders, even though this game had to go into overtime. The New Orleans Saints could be a team that you actually look at, and they do view themselves as potentially an upset. If they were to lose tonight, Dallas would be 7-5 with games against Washington, the Giants, Washington, the Cardinals, and the Eagles to close out the year. None of those are actually bona fide wins. I mean, look at this. The Giants were able to beat up on the Eagles last week, and they've been able to go close toe-to-toe inside the division with Washington. Washington is a surging football team right now. They have been on a tear because the defense has finally figured it out, and Taylor Heineke is limiting his turnovers, and you got to play them twice. Dallas needs this win more than New Orleans. New Orleans at least understands that Taysom Hill may be the answer quarterback, but Dallas needs to keep its status as a top-tier contender.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Industrial Strength Free-All spreads deep into rusted or frozen parts, bringing them with ease. The three-part formula delivers three times more lubricant. It takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Free-All is also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and is silicone-free. Great for seized engines, stuck ball joints, brake caliper removals, and rusty pilers and other bolts. Make sure you stop by your local auto store and pick up your Free-All deep penetrating oil today. All right, it's that time of the day, Cole's Calendar, where we break down some of the biggest names and the biggest national holidays that you people have decided to make real. All right, what are our options for December 2nd, Michael?
Looks like the week is getting better and better. We started with 8, we're down to 3. First one, National Special Education Day.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that warms my heart. It does. And I have a friend who does work with special education kids, and she puts in a lot of work, a lot of hours, and I give her a lot of credit. Like, for anybody to be able to do that and for anybody to be able to put in the time and the patience and really want to help these kids, then that to me is just so heartwarming. That, like, it really is. I don't know if I really want to read the other two, but, like, let's go ahead.
National Mutt Day.
My dog is a mutt. My dog is a mutt. Oh, boy. See, now I feel like I'm going to be terrible because I'm going to basically tell any person who works in special education, your job doesn't matter. Or I'm going to say to my dog, Max, Max, I love you. You're not good enough for me. I didn't make a national holiday out of you. Way to be a terrible person.
And National Fritters Day.
Oh, like apple fritters?
I guess so. I don't even know what fritters are.
I don't know.
National Fritters Day. That's what I'm guessing. So, yeah. Flavorful batters of bits.
Yeah, it's like an apple fritter or like a pumpkin fritter or something like that. Yeah, it totally is. Boy. I've never done this before, and I don't know if I actually can ever do this again, but I hereby decree National Mutt Day and National Special Education Day. Anybody who works in the school system truly does deserve to be recognized for all the hard work that they do. They put in countless hours for little to no pay. You really should, we should be paying our teachers a little bit more money, and especially those who work in special education who have to put in twice the amount of work to make sure that students are learning and graduating, and more so also getting the proper education no matter what their needs are, is a huge plus. So I congratulate and I applaud any single person who works in that industry. But also, every dog needs a home. Sometimes you don't understand that, you know, dogs just do dog things. But it doesn't make a puppy a less of a puppy because it's a mix of a border collie and a lab, or a golden retriever and a dachshund, or a husky and a German shepherd. They all need homes. They're not mutts because of they're disgusting. They're mutts because of they're just special dogs. Give a lot of credit. My dog, Max, is one of the biggest joys in my life. And I want to make sure that he knows that every single day. So congratulations to both. You both actually get a national holiday. This is the first and hopefully the only time I ever do this. I ever have this conversation. So I was talking to my brother last night, and he kind of was challenging me to talk a little bit more about just college football and the NBA. You know, he's like, oh, you know, we got, you know, NBA seasons are, you know, in the height of its region. And you look at how college football and the NFL is coming down to a wind. You got to be able to talk about something besides just offseason. Even though there is a lot of news coming out, especially in both the college ranks now, with NIL deals, with transfers, with, you know, late hires, with late firings, and the NFL offseason is still just as big as anything else out there. But you do got to talk some NBA. So let's go ahead and talk some NBA. Are we sure that the Phoenix Suns are not the greatest team in the NBA this year? Are we sure that the Phoenix Suns are not the team to beat moving forward? They're on a 17-game winning streak, and they just went up against the Golden State Warriors. Not only did they go up against the Golden State Warriors, they played elite basketball in the entire second half. This was a team that dominated one of the best sharpshooters in the game all time in Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, you know, still out, Draymond Green was unable to do anything. And it's a young roster. One of the biggest things that people talk about all the time is how new is better. New is always better. New is always the status. New is always this, you know, new is always the next best thing. New is always what you want to aim towards. Look at the Los Angeles Lakers right now. People said that they were going to be the team to beat. They were going to be the team to when you start off the year, they had LeBron. They were fine. They're not even close. If you look at this Phoenix Suns team and the way that they've played in the last couple games, and you look at the way that LeBron limited due to COVID, due to injury, has been with the Lakers, there's an opportunity to where you could say they don't even make the postseason. There's another opportunity where you say that someone like Phoenix, they not only host the entire NBA playoffs, they're the team that finishes with the best record and gives the most competition and sweeps everybody. The biggest reason why I believe that they are the best team in the NBA right now is because they have the young core. You want to be able to have your core playing in its prime. I think about it. DeAndre Ayton, an easy scoring machine around the rim. Mikal Bridges, great defensively, can shoot from behind the arc. Devin Booker, one of the more complete guards in the NBA that nobody seems to talk about because we always got to mention Steph and James Harden and a couple of other names. We still mention Westbrook in that category. Devin Booker might be the best. And then, of course, you still have two veterans that are building on this roster of young talent with Chris Paul and with Jay Crowder. When you have a roster like this, one that has young pieces to solidify yourself for the long-term future and pieces that are here as established veterans, what do you not like? And then Monty Williams is a severely underrated coach that just fits Phoenix. He fits this core of young players with one veteran to lead the charge, to be that extra voice in that locker room, that player's coach on the court. And they're winning. 17-game winning streak. When do you hear about that? When do you hear about that coming? Everyone thought that last season was a one and done for Phoenix. Just a year that, you know, oh, they're finally back into the playoffs. They're finally back into the conversation of, you know, no longer being a joke of the NBA. Guys, they're far past that. They're arguably the best team. They're outscoring opponents by over 10 points. They're out defending players. They're winning in rebounds. They're winning in offensive rebounds more than defensive rebounds. They're doing everything asked of them. And they're doing it without question and without concern. And Chris Paul even said after the game, it's a team effort. It's not one person doing the job. It is a team effort.
Tribute to everybody. It's a tribute to everybody, you know, especially the coaching staff, the guys that have been here, you know, those guys that have been here for years, you know, they went through some 19-win seasons, you know, and they stayed the course. You know, they did what they did in the bubble. We did what we did last year, but even coming in this year, you know, it's the foundation that was set. And, you know, you look at the team we just played tonight, you know, they've been doing that now for a long time. And I think that's what most teams around the league are trying to build.
You look at a team like Phoenix that has the right pieces, the right culture, the right coach, it becomes easy. It becomes very easy to win games. Veteran talent, your core's in your prime, a coach who fits the culture. Golden State is still a really good team. They still have, in my opinion, the best shooter of all time in Steph Curry. Klay Thompson coming back, Draymond Green. I want to see Jonathan Wiseman take that next step. There is a lot to like about this team. But there's so much more to like about Phoenix. More complete defensively, more unique offensively, good young core, great coach, great culture, and they're going to get a new owner. They're going to get a new owner that's going to make them a more, I would say, profitable, presentable team. Add all that together, what does that mean? Success. And as Phoenix, which by the way, is the largest growing city in America, people are moving to Phoenix left and right. And it's not just retirees, it's young people. The more Phoenix continues to grow, it becomes an attractive job. It becomes an immense attractive job. What Golden State was about a decade ago, that's what you're going to see Phoenix be for about the next 6-7 years. We want to talk about Los Angeles being back and the Lakers are good and it's good for basketball when they're great. You want to talk about Golden State being good, and it's great because if you don't want to know what, when you look at a team like Golden State, they're still proving that even without Kevin Durant, they are an elite team that is going to be able to make it all the way to the NBA Finals. But the team to beat is Phoenix. And the team for a hot minute is going to be Phoenix. They're complete on every single level of the court. When you have that style, when you have that play, that culture, nobody's beating you. And if the season were to end today and the NBA Finals were to go through Phoenix, maybe Milwaukee would be the only team that I would consider probably to at least win one or two games against this roster. Everyone else, they're going to lose and they're going to get swept.
And guess what we have tomorrow?
Hmm.
Warriors, Phoenix.
Tomorrow
in
night?
San Francisco, Friday night.
That's going to be a fun one. That's going to be a fun one. You know what else is going to be fun? I'm really interested to see what Brian Kelly can do at LSU. Because if you do look at the limitations he had at Notre Dame when he was the head coach for the last decade, I mean, for the last dozen years, he's a good guy in the sense of good for the program. I don't know if he was a good guy. A lot of people are actually coming out and talking about all the terrible things that he's done. But people don't care about what you've done. They only care about what you can do. I don't think enough people understand that. Everyone, I talked about this yesterday. To be a good coach in college football today, you have to be an a-hole. You really have to be an a-hole. Why is Brian Kelly getting, you know, criticized for being an a-hole? Well, he was at Notre Dame. When you look at the level of talent he was able to bring into South Bend, Indiana, and the level of talent that's found in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, it's uncanny. Players he could only dream of potentially joining his roster in Irish Stadium, joining his roster in front of Touchdown Jesus every single Saturday. They're available now. They're there. And Brian Kelly even talked about why this was a difficult decision for him to leave Notre Dame and come to LSU, but why ultimately, at this point in his career, it probably was the best one.
It's never easy, right? I mean, these decisions are, it's my choice. You know, I own it, right? And it's 100% my decision. Those young men I love dearly, and it made it for a difficult decision. But when I was able to look at it and the opportunity here was one as I got a chance to really, as I mentioned earlier, talk to Scott about the resources and the opportunity here to really make a significant change. I believe that I can make a significant difference here.
Do I think that Brian Kelly can be successful? Yeah, why not? He's had 5-10-win seasons at a program where you usually, if you win, you're winning against bad teams. And I'm not saying that he didn't win against good teams. He did win against bad teams. But 9 wins is usually average. He had 10, double digits. He helped his team get to the college football playoff on 2 different occasions. And there's a very good shot that if Cincinnati loses or if Oklahoma State loses or if Alabama loses, they're going to go for another time. They're going to go for their third time. Isn't that what you want? Doesn't it not matter? And people will talk about this all the time. Does it matter that you're going to be a good program, or does it matter that you're going to be somebody who can be a great coach? Oh, yeah, we can set up good culture. We can go ahead and set all the standards. At LSU, it sells itself. You have to sell Notre Dame to people because at Notre Dame, there is an extra level of commitment that goes into being a member of the Fighting Irish and the Golden Domers. You know what that level is? Academics. LSU, you're in 3, you're out in 3. You're done. You're done afterwards. You can be good. When I look at LSU and I look at them adding in a guy like Brian Kelly, what this does is it solidifies the fact that they are ready to contend right now. But what it also does for Brian Kelly is it shows a talent. It shows that he is ready to take that next step in his career. Do I believe that he can be successful? Absolutely. Could I also see it burning flat? Absolutely. He's had 1 4-win season in his career. After a 4-win season at LSU, you don't get a second chance. He's got to hit the ground running, and I mean running now. We'll close out just saying it right after this.
This is Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
One final thought, as I do every day here on Just Saying It. Thank you. Thank you for being a hero. Unfortunately, there was a tragedy that happened on Tuesday afternoon when another school shooting occurred in Michigan. And to one brave young man named Tate Meyer, he likely saved the lives of over a dozen students or more. But he lost his own in the process. Tate Meyer was this all-pro, all-star running back, linebacker getting looked at to play at college, at the collegiate level. He had a scholarship to go to Toledo University and had the opportunity to continue his athletic career, and instead decided to lay his life down on the line to protect his fellow students. I don't know if I will ever be able to talk to Tate Meyer's family. I do not know if I will ever be able to hear the pain and suffering that they have lost. I do not know what they are going through, but what I will tell you is if they ever hear this, know that all of us here at Sports Map Radio are in your thoughts and in your prayers. And more importantly, thank you for raising an astounding and truly significant, wonderful young man who is willing to sacrifice his own life so he could save his fellow man. Rest in peace, Tate Meyer, and thank you for being a hero. That's going to do it for us here on Just Saying It. We'll be back tomorrow to break down everything you need to know for conference championship weekend and recapping Thursday night football. Have a good Thursday, everybody. Later.